Welcome to Zichu Dav Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today we're Zechus Yuma Dav Zayin, the first parak, Shiva's Yummy. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Sheshes brings the following as the source for his ruling that Tuma Duchu Yehi B'Tzibur. It was taught in a Braisa, Hay Omer U'Makrib Minchaz Omer V'Nitma B'Yado. If a Kohen was standing and offering the Omer, and it became Tame in his hand, he tells other Kohanim and they bring another one in its place. Now, if there's no other barley from the new crop available, Omrim Lo, Havi Pekech U'Shasok. We tell him, be wise and remain silent. The Meir explains that since there's no way to rectify the problem, we tell him to make the offering in Tuma, but not to publicize the matter, so that people will not mistakenly think that a private mincha can also be brought in Tuma. The Braisa nevertheless teaches that when there is another Omer available, it is brought in place of the original one. So we see from here that Tuma Duchuyi B'Tzibur. Rav Nachman, who holds Tuma Hutrahi B'Tzibur, answered that he agrees, Heked de Ekeshiraim la'achila, that in cases where there are remnants fit for consumption, it's preferable to avoid making the communal offerings in Tuma. Rashi explains that even though a communal offering may be offered in a state of Tuma without reservation, it cannot be eaten in Tuma except for the Pesach. So when an offering is meant to be eaten, we do what we can so it can be eaten in a state of Tahara. Point number two, the Gemara brings Malchokas to Naim regarding Tuma Hutri Hibatzibur or Duchui Hibatzibur. It was taught in a Braisa, Tzitz ben sheyesh no al mitzcho ben she'en al mitzcho meratze divrei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that the tzitz is meratze whether it's on the Kohen Gadol's forehead or not. Rabbi Yehuda says it's only meratze while it's on the forehead. Rabbi Shimon challenged Rabbi Yehuda based on the fact that the tzitz is not on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur when he performs the inner avoda, and yet it's still meratze. Rabbi Yehuda replied that a proof from Yom Kippur is ineffective since Tumah hutru lo b'tzibur, because Tumah is permitted for him in regard to the community, and the tzitz is not needed to effect acceptance for the communal offerings. Rashi explains that the entire inner avoda consists of communal offerings. So the Gemara concludes that this braisa implies that Rabbi Shimon holds Tumah duchuyeh b'tzibur, that Tumah is merely overridden in regard to the community, and the tzitz is in fact needed to effect acceptance for communal offerings. And point number three, Abai said that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda agree that if the tzitz is broken, it's not meratzah. They disagree when it's hanging on a peg, meaning that it's intact, but the Kohen Gadol isn't wearing it. Rav Yehuda says that's not meratzah because the pasuk states, al metzach v'nasa. It shall be on Aaron's forehead, so he shall bear the sin of the sacred offerings, implying that it's only meratzah while it's on his forehead. Rav Shimon holds that it's still meratzah even when it's not worn, as it says, tamid l'ratzim lifnei Hashem. It shall be on his forehead always to bring them favor before Hashem. Rav Shimon said that the meaning of tamid, always, cannot be literal. For how then does the Kohen Gadol go to the bathroom or go to sleep? He certainly is not permitted to wear the tzitz during those times. Ella, tamid meratzu. Rather, the term always means that the tzitz is always meratzu, even when it's not worn. So once again, the three topics are, number one, Rav Sheshes brings the following as the source of his ruling, that Tumah Duchu Yehi B'Tzibur. It was taught in a Braisa, Haya Omer U'Makrib Minchaz Omer V'Nitma B'Yado. If a Kohen was standing and offering the Omer and it became tamid in his hand, he tells out the Kohanim and they bring another one in its place. If there's no other barley from the new crop available, Omrim Lo Havi Pekeach V'Shusok. We tell him, be wise and remain silent. The Meir explains that since there's no way to rectify the problem, we tell him to make the offering in Tuma, but not to publicize the matter, so that people not mistakenly think that a private mincha can also be brought in Tuma. The Braisa nevertheless teaches that when there is another Omer available, it's brought in place of the original one. So we see from here, Tumah Duchuyehi B'Tzibur. Rav Nachman holds, we see from here that Tumah Duchuyehi B'Tzibur. Rav Nachman, who holds Tuma Hutrahi B'Tzibur, answered that he agrees, Heked de'ekeshirayim la'achila, that in cases where there are remnants fit for consumption, it's preferable to avoid making the communal offerings in Tuma. Rashi explains that even though a communal offering may be offered in a state of Tuma without reservation, it cannot be eaten in Tuma except for the Pesach. So when an offering is meant to be eaten, we do what we can so it can be eaten in a state of Tahara. Point number two, the Gemara brings Malchokas and I'm regarding Tuma Hutri B'Tzibur or Duchuyi B'Tzibur. It was taught in a Braisa, Tzitz ben sheyesh no mitzcho ben she'en no mitzcho meratze divrei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that the tzitz is meratze whether it's on the Kohen Gadol's forehead or not. Rabbi Yehuda says it's only meratze while it's on his forehead. Rabbi Shimon challenged Rabbi Yehuda based on the fact that the tzitz is not on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur when he performs the inner avoda, and yet it's still meratze. Rabbi Yehuda replied that a proof from Yom Kippur is not effective since Tuma Hutrihi B'Tzibur. Rav Yehuda replied that a proof from Yom Kippur is not effective since Tumah Hutru Lo B'Tzibur, because Tumah is permitted for him in regard to the community and tzitz, and that tzitz is not needed to effect acceptance for the communal offerings. Rashi explains that the entire inner avoda consists of communal offerings. The Gemara concludes that this brisa implies that Rabbi Shimon holds Tuma dechuyi mitzvah, that Tuma is merely overridden in regard to the community, and that tzitz is in fact needed to affect acceptance for communal offerings. And point number three, Abai said that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda agree that if the tzitz is broken, it's not meratza. They disagree when it's hanging on a peg, meaning that it's intact, but the Kohen Gadol is not wearing it. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not meratza because the pasuk states, Al metzach v'nasa, it shall be on Aaron's forehead so that he shall bear the sin of the sacred offerings, implying that it's only meratza while it's on his forehead. Rabbi Shimon holds that it's still meratza even when it's not worn, as it says, Tamid l'ratzam lifnei Hashem, it shall be on his forehead always to bring them favor before Hashem. Rabbi Shimon said that the meaning of tamid always cannot be literal. For how then does the Kohen Gadol go to the bathroom or go to sleep? He certainly is not permitted to wear that tzitz during those times. Ella tamid meratza. Rather, the term always means that the tzitz is always meratza even when it's not worn. All right, so now we go to our siman for Daf Zayin, and our standard siman is a gun because the clay Zayin is a weapon. So we use a gun. So here goes. The sniper who shot the sherets that landed on the omer in the hands of the Kohen as it was being offered. Davan on Yom Kippur that he attained atonement when the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh Kadoshim without his tzitz, which he also never wore when he went to sleep. Once again, in slow motion. The sniper with a gun, that must mean we're on Daf Zayin. The sniper who shot the sherets that landed on the omer in the hands of the Kohen as it was being offered, which reminds us that Rav Sheshes brings the following as the source for his ruling, that Tumah Dechuyi Hibatzibur. It was taught in a bright that if a Kohen standing and offering the omer that became tummy in his hand, he tells other Kohanim they bring another one in its place. If there's no other barley from the new crop available, we tell him, Havi Pekeach Mishasok, be wise and remain silent. We see, though, that when there is another omer available, it is brought in place of the original one, which implies Tumah Dechuyi Hibatzibur. Rav Nachman, who holds Tumah Hutra Hibatzibur, answered that he agrees, Heikad Eikashi Raim Lachila, that in cases where there are remnants fit for consumption, it's preferable to avoid making the communal offerings in Tuma. Rashi explains that even though a communal offering may be offered in a state of Tuma, without reservation, it cannot be eaten in Tuma except for the Pesach. So when an offering is meant to be eaten, we do what we can so it can be eaten in a state of Tahara. So the sniper who shot the sherets that landed on the omer in the hands of the Kohen as it was being offered, Davan on Yom Kippur that he attained atonement when the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh Kodoshim without his tzitz. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings Malchukas Tanan regarding Tuma Hutra Hibatzibur or Duchuya Hibatzibur. It was taught in a brace that Rabbi Shimon says that tzitz is meratza whether it's on the Kohen Gadol's forehead or not. Rabbi Yehuda says it's only meratza when it's on his forehead. Rabbi Shimon challenged Rabbi Yehuda based on the fact that the tzitz is not on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur when he performs the inner avoda, and yet it's still meratza. Rabbi Yehuda replied that a proof from Yom Kippur is not effective since Tuma Hutra Lobetzibur, because Tuma is permitted for him in regard to the community, and that tzitz is not needed to affect acceptance of the communal offerings. Rashi explains that the entire inner avoda consists of communal offerings. The Gemara concludes that this brisa implies that Rabbi Shimon holds Tuma Dechuyi Hibatzibur, that Tuma is merely overridden in regard to the community, and that tzitz is in fact needed to affect acceptance for a communal offering. So the sniper who shot the sherets that landed in the omer in the hands of the Kohen as it was being offered, davened in Yom Kippur that he attained atonement when the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh Kodashim without his tzitz, which he also never wore when he went to sleep. Which reminds us, Abai said that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda agree that if the tzitz is broken, it's not meratza. They disagree when it's hanging on a peg, meaning that it's intact, but the Kohen Gadol is not wearing it. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not meratza because the pasuk states, Al metzach v'nasa, it shall be on the Aaron's forehead, so that he shall bear the sin of the sacred offerings, implying that it is only meratza while it's on his forehead. Rabbi Shimon holds that it is still meratza even when it's not worn. As it says, Tamid l'ratzam lifnei Hashem, it shall be on his forehead always to bring them favor before Hashem. Rabbi Shimon said that the meaning of tamid always cannot be literal. For how then does the Kohen Gadol go to the bathroom or go to sleep? He certainly is not permitted to wear the tzitz during those times. Ella tamid meratzahu. Rather, the term tamid always means that the tzitz is always meratza even when it's not worn. So once again, the sniper who shot the sherets that landed on the omer in the hands of the Kohen as it was being offered, davened in Yom Kippur that he attained atonement when the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh Kodashim without his tzitz, which he also never wore when he went to sleep. All right, now it's time for our four block back chazara. Daf Kimmel, so our symbol for Daf Kimmel is a gamal, a camel. So here goes. The curious camel. Curious camel? That must be more than Daf Gimmel. Gamal. The curious camel who always liked to hang out with one ram and one bull, which reminds the Gemara continues to challenge that the word of Chaper refers to Yom Kippur and suggests that it could be referring to Shavuos, which is also a case of preaching for 7 days for a one-day service. So Abba Shul answers, Dan par echad ba'al echad, me par echad ba'al echad, we derive a service that includes one bull and one ram, referring to the Yom Kippur service, from a service that includes one bull and one ram, referring to the Miluim. Lafuke atzeret sishnei elininu, to the exclusion of Shavuos, where there are two rams. This is referring to the two rams brought with the Shtei Alechem. And the Gemara clarifies that we can even say that we follow the opinion of Rebbe Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, who argues with Rebbe, and holds that there are two rams brought in Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, the two rams are of two different types. Chadul chovas hayom, but chadul musafim. One coming as an obligation on the day, and the other for the musaf offering. Rashi explains that the musaf is a supplement to the daily tamid offering, as opposed to a special carbon called for on Yom Kippur. Accordingly, we could say that Yom Kippur, like the miluim, possesses carbonus of one ram and one bull. This would exclude Shavuot, since both rams were offered as an obligation of the day. So the curious camel, who always liked to hang out with one ram and one bull, watched in fascination as the Kohen Gadol performed a first-time service on the Mizbeach. Which reminds us, Ravina provides a different reason why only the Yom Kippur service can be derived from the Miluim. He said, Dani avode b'Kohen Gadol, ma'avode b'Kohen Gadol, we derive a service performed by a Kohen Gadol, referring to the Yom Kippur service, from a service likewise performed by a Kohen Gadol, referring to the Miluim, as opposed to all other services mentioned, which are not performed by a Kohen Gadol. Others say that Ravina said, Dani avode t'chil, ma'avode t'chil, we derive a first service from a first service. The Gemara clarifies that this means, avode t'chil b'makom, ma'avode t'chil b'makom. We derive a service that was the first to be performed in a particular place, referring to Yom Kippur, which is the first avoda ever to be performed in the Kodesh Kodashim, from a service that was the first to be performed in a particular place, referring to the eighth day of the Miluim, which is the first time the avoda was done on the Mizbeach. So the curious camel, who always liked to hang out with one ram and one bull, watched in fascination as a Kohen Gadol performed a first-time service on the Mizbeach, and then was enveloped by a cloud for 6 days. Which reminds us, Reish Lakish challenges Rabbi Yochanan's assertion that the Prisha of the Kohen Gadol is derived from the Miluim, and says the obligation to sequester comes from Har Sinai, where Moshe was sequestered before he could enter the Machane Shechina to receive the Torah. The Pasuk states, Yishkon Kvod Hashem al Har Sinai v'chasei v'anan sheishos yamim, and the glory of Hashem rested on Har Sinai, and the cloud covered him for 6 days, referring to Moshe, v'yikra al Moshe v'yom Hashvi, and he called to Moshe on the 7th day. Now, what was the purpose of saying that Moshe was covered for 6 days? This creates a source for the general principle that anyone who enters the Machane Shechina requires separation for 6 days beforehand. Our Mishnah, which requires 7 days of Prisha, is going according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, the Chayshu Tumas Beso, who's concerned that the Kohen Gadol might become tummy from his wife, who might unexpectedly become Anita. Dav Dalet, so the Simur Dav Dalet is a Dalet, a door. So here goes. When the cloud covering the mountain shaped like a massive door, that must be more Dav Dalet, Dalet. When the cloud covering the mountain shaped like a massive door, which reminds the Gemara brings a brisa that's in accordance with Reish Lakish, who taught that Moshe ascended into a cloud, was covered in a cloud, and was sanctified in a cloud, kedei lekabel Torah Yisrael b'kedusha, in order to receive the Torah of Yisrael and kedusha, as it stated, the glory of Hashem rested on Har Sinai, and the cloud covered him, Moshe, for 6 days. According to Rabbi Yossi Galili, this incident occurred after the giving of the Aseres HaDibros, for the 6 days were the start of the 40-day period following the giving of the Aseres HaDibros. Rabbi Kiva says that the glory of Hashem rested on Rosh Chodesh Sivan prior to the giving of the Aseres HaDibros, v'chaseihu ha'anan lahar, and the cloud covered it, with the suffix it referring to the mountain. The Brisa continues that when the Pasuk states v'yikra al-Moshe, and he called to Moshe on the 7th of Sivan, to impart the Aseres HaDibros, Hashem is speaking to Moshe and all the people, and the Pasuk comes only l'chal kavod l'Moshe, to accord on to Moshe, by singling him out. So when the cloud covering the mountain shaped like a massive door purged the innards of the person standing at the bottom who is trembling in fear, which reminds us, Rabbi Nassin says, the pasuk comes only to purge the food and drink from Moshe's intestines, l'suma kamal chayasharis, to make him like the ministering angels. Rashi explains that Rabbi Nassin holds like Rabbi Yossi Galili, that Moshe was covered by the cloud, but the pasuk doesn't serve as a model for others who enter the Machane Shechina. Rather, this sequestering of Moshe to purge his innards, Rezema Malach, was unique to Moshe. Rabbi Masi ben Charj says the pasuk comes only to instill fear in Moshe, in order that the Torah be given with fear, trembling, and quaking, as it says, Ivdas Hashem b'yira v'gilu b'ra'ada, serve Hashem with awe and rejoice in trepidation. Rabbi Bar Masna said in the name of Rav, b'makom gila sham tehei ra'ada, in the place of rejoicing, such as when receiving the luchos, there should be trepidation. So when the cloud covering the mountain shaped like a massive door purged the innards of the person standing at the bottom, who was trembling in fear, he called his friend over to tell him what happened, and told him not to tell anyone. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa that the pasuk states, V'yikra al Moshe v'yedaber, and he called to Moshe and he spoke. Why did Hashem preface speaking with calling? The Torah teaches derech eretz that a person should not say something to his friend, El im ken koreu, unless he calls him. Rabbi Menasseh, the grandson of Rabbi Menasseh, said in the name of Rabbi Menasseh the Great, from where do we know concerning one who says something to his friend, that he's not to repeat it to others, ad sheyomru lecha lech emor, unless he says to him, go repeat it. We're saying the pasuk v'yedaber, Hashem elav me'o amod le'mor, and Hashem spoke to him from the o'amod le'mor. Rashi says that the term le'mor is expanded as a contraction of lo'emor, do not repeat. Daf Hey, so the symbol for Daf Hey is Hey. So here goes. The people forgot to do smicha and tenufa. We're told they should sit on bundles of hay. Hey, that must mean we're on Daf Hey. The people forgot to do smicha and tenufa. We're told they should sit on bundles of hay, which reminds us the Gemara in Daf Dalet Amud Beis brought a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina regarding the Miguim. Rabbi Yochanan holds kol kasbah and ma'akbah, and everything written concerning them, referring to the details of the Miguim service, are essential to them. Omitting one of the details would have invalidated the Miguim. Rabbi Chanina holds davar ma'akbah doros ma'akbahen she'ain ma'akbah doros ainu ma'akbahen. Only something that's essential for future generations is essential to the Miguim, but something that's not essential for future generations is not essential to them and would not invalidate the Miguim. The Gemara identifies four actions which are not ma'ak of the avoda in future generations, which would be the points of contention between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. Number one, smicha. Number two, tenufa. Number three, prisha shiva. So questioning the Kohen Gadol over 7 days before Yom Kippur. And four, ribui shiva umeshicha shiva. Donning the Kohen Gadol on his garments for 7 days and anointing him with oil for 7 days as part of his installation. So the people forgot to do smicha and tenufa. We're told they should sit on bundles of hay in order to listen to a Kohen reading the Parsha of Miguim, which reminds us that Rabbi Yochanan said in the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, where do we know that also reading the Parsha of the Miguim is essential? Rashi explains that in Parsha Tzav, before beginning the 7 days of Miguim on the 23rd of Adar, Moshe gathered Bnei Yisrael at the entrance of the Mishkan and announced this is the thing Hashem commanded to do. Now, given this introduction, we would expect Moshe to relate a message from Hashem, but the Torah doesn't record the message. The Gemara therefore understands the pasuk to mean that before beginning the Miguim, Moshe read them the step-by-step instructions recorded in Tetzaveh. Where do we know that if Moshe had not read them, the Miguim would have been invalidated? Talmud Lomar, Yomer Moshe El Aida Zeh Adover Shetziva Hashem. For the Torah states, Moshe said to the assembly, this is the word that Hashem has commanded, Afil Dibur Ma'akev, which implies that even the speech is essential. So the people forgot to do smicha and tenufa, were told they should sit on bundles of hay in order to listen to a Kohen reading the Parsha of Miguim, and then take a test on how Moshe put the belts on Aaron and his sons. Which reminds us that there's a machlokes between Rabbi Chiya's sons and Rabbi Yochanan regarding how Moshe dressed Aaron and his sons. One says Moshe first dressed Aaron and afterwards his sons, and the other says that he dressed Aaron and his sons at the same time. Abai clarifies that they agree regarding the ksonis and mitznefes, the tunic and the turban, that Moshe first dressed Aaron and afterwards his sons. They disagree regarding the avnet, the belt, based on the different way they understand the psukim in Parshas Tetzaveh and Tzav.
Davav, so the simur Davav is a sword. So here goes.
The Kohen Gadol who was sequestered from his wife and was using a sword. Sword? That must mean we're on Davav. The Kohen Gadol who was sequestered from his wife and was using a sword as a pointer to read the daytime mikveh hour schedule, which reminds us the Gemara why the Kohen Gadol is required to separate from his wife when his wife could be sequestered with him on the temple grounds, and answers, perhaps he'll have relations with his wife when she has no reason to think that she's a nida, and she will afterwards be found to be an impossible nida at that time. In that case, the Kohen Gadol will be tummy for 7 days and will not be able to perform the avoda of Yom Kippur. Rabbi Zera said that we can learn from this that a bo'al nida ain't a kanida. One who has relations with a nida is not tummy exempted a kanida and immerses himself during the seventh day without having to wait until nightfall. For if you say he's like a nida requiring tefillah after nightfall the seventh day, how could the Kohen Gadol, who had relations with his wife the day he was sequestered, do the avoda of Yom Kippur? He would need to immerse himself the night of Yom Kippur and wait until the following day before he could enter the base of Mikdash. So the Kohen Gadol, who was sequestered from his wife and was using a sword as a pointer to read the daytime mikveh hour schedule, was delighted to receive visitors from the daily base of. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks why the Kohen Gadol is not sequestered from possible tumas ameis. Rashi explains he should be sequestered not only from his wife, but from all visitors, lest someone dies in his presence. Rav Tachlifa, the father of Rav Huna, said in the name of Rava, Zos omeres tumas ameis hutra hibat zibor. This tells us that tumas ameis is permitted with regard to the community. This means that if any tumas ameis restriction interferes with the communal sacrifice, the Torah commands without reservation that the restriction be disregarded. There is therefore no need to prevent the Kohen Gadol from being sequestered from visitors. Ravina said, I feel tame with tumas ameis to chuya hibat zibor. You can even say that tumas ameis is merely overridden with regard to the community, which requires observing tumor restrictions if at all possible. The reason that the Kohen Gadol does not need to be sequestered from visitors is that tumas ameis lo shchicha. Tumas ameis is not common at all. Tumas beis lo shchicha. Whereas tumah of his house, meaning from his wife, is somewhat common. So the Kohen Gadol was sequestered from his wife and was using his sword as a pointer to read the daytime mikveh hour schedule, was delighted to receive visitors from the daily base of. Half who were tummy and half who were tahor. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a machlokes on a rhyme regarding tumas ameis. Rav Nachman said, hutri hibat zibor, it's permitted with regard to the community. But Rav Sheshes said, duchuyi hibat zibor, it's merely overridden with regard to the community. The Gemara explains that where there are tummy and tahor kohanim in the same base of, all agree that the tahor kohanim should serve and the tummy one should not, even in offering communal offerings. The only disagree if tahor kohanim from another base of should be brought when all the members of the current base of are tummy. Rav Nachman says we do not need to seek tahor kohanim, and Rav Sheshes says they must seek tahor kohanim from a different base of. Some say that even in a case where there are both tummy and tahor kohanim in the same base of,
Rav Nachman disagrees and says that tummy wounds can also serve to call tumas meis betzibur rachman ashayev, for the merciful one permitted all cases of corpse tumor with regard to the community. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which of the one that the Kohen Gadol is permitted to have visitors and there isn't a concern about the possibility of his becoming tamei from tumas meis? That's on daf vav. Good. Number 2. Which of the one that Reish Lakish says we derive the obligation to sequester from Har Sinai, where Moshe was sequestered before he could enter the Machane Shechina? That's on daf gimel. Good. Number 3. Which of the one that Kohen Gadol does not need to wear that tzitz when he does the inner avoda on Yom Kippur? That's on daf Zion. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn that Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes have a machok is whether Tahor Kohanim from a different base of must be brought in when all the members of the current base of are Tame? That's on daf Bav. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we machok has been Rav Yochanan and Rav Chanina whether 4 actions that are not ma'akav adoros would ma'akav the miluim? That's on daf Hey. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn that the Kohen is required to separate from his wife as she might become a Suffolk Nida? That's on daf Vav. Good. Number 7. Which of the one Rabbi Nassan said the cloud was there to purge Moshe's innards, and others say it was to instill fear? That's on daf Dalad. Good. Number 8. Which of the one Rabbi Sheshes' source for Tuchuma Tuchui Hibetzibur was from the fact that when the Omri becomes Tame, another one is brought in to replace it? That's on daf Zayin. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we have been Rabbi Yossi Agui and Rabbi Kiva whether the cloud covered Moshe or the mountain, and whether that occurred before or after the Aseres HaDibros? That's on daf Dalad. Good. And number 10, which daf do we learn that Rabbi Yehuda says that tzitz is on meratza when the Kohen Gadol is wearing it, whereas Rabbi Shimon says it's meratza even when he's not wearing it? That's on daf Zayin. Excellent. All right, that concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldin Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.